Thank you. That was wonderful. What I'd like to do with you today is to review with you a month of Sunday school classes in 30 minutes or less or more. So what you need to do is fasten your seatbelts because we are going to fly through some doctrine. That word doctrine, what doctrine is just an intense study of something that's in the Bible. And how I'm going to break that down is I'm going to present to you four problems. And four solutions. That's going to be the easy part. The hard part is the quiz at the end. I'm going to state a solution, and I need to hear what the problem it addresses, or I'm going to state the problem, and I need to hear the solution. So four problems, four solutions. So these, how should I say this? I typed everything out. Or I keyboarded everything out, so I won't be flipping through my Bible, but I brought it up here. Oop, got to put it up the right way. I brought my Bible up here, but I'll be reading from that from the page. The reason why I'm doing the four problems and the four solutions is for us to understand this great concept, the last words that Jesus said on the cross. He said, "It is finished." What did he mean when he said, "It is finished"? So we're going to look at that doctrine that is finished. Now, where all that starts is, I don't know if this is what was really there, but all that started, the problem started with this. Because in Genesis chapter 2, verse 16, it says this, "And the Lord God commanded the man, saying, from any tree of the garden you may eat freely, but from the tree of the knowledge of good and evil you shall not eat, for in the day that you eat from it you shall surely die." A more accurate way of putting that is dying, you will die. So that's the overall container over here. Dying, you will die. And in that container are four problems that need to be addressed. Now, do I believe this really happened? That Adam ate of the fruit? That there was actually a man named Adam and Eve, and it was just not a metaphor or some kind of story? Yes, I do. This is the holy, inspired word of God. And God gave the solution in Genesis chapter 3, verse 15. And he said this to the man, "And I will put enmity between you, Satan, and the woman, and between your seed," the spiritual descendants of Satan, "and her seed," those who are in the family of God, "he," Christ, "shall bruise you on the head, and you," Satan, "shall bruise him on the heel," cause him to suffer. When Adam sinned and took that bite with Eve, three things happened. Three categories of sin happened. Now, we don't often talk about the categories of sin that happened, but that's what we're going to do today. So category number one is personal sin. When Adam sinned, it changed him, and it changed all of us, so that now we commit sin, individual, personal sin. For example, in Matthew chapter 5, verse 19, when Jesus was talking to the Pharisees, And he says this, out of the heart comes evil thoughts and murders and adulteries and fornications and thefts and false witness and slander. Personal sins. And in 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 24, it says this, and he himself, Jesus, bore our sins. That word there, our sins, is personal. The sins I commit, the selfish deeds I commit in his body on the cross, that he might die, that we might die to sin and live to righteousness, by his wounds you were healed. My personal sins. Jesus paid for them all. So if we're in a math class, I would say, oh, personal sins. That means everybody sinned. Well, how many sins is that? If we got out our calculators, so guess what I did? I went, well, how many people have lived since Adam and Eve till now? And there's a whole bunch of different numbers, so I picked one number, the lowest number. And then I was very generous, and I said, okay, let's just say that I'm awake 12 hours a day, and I only commit 3 sins an hour. I think I could commit 3 sins in the first 5 minutes I'm awake. But let's just say 3 sins an hour for 12 hours. That's 36 sins a day. The average life expectancy is 33 years. So times that by 36 times 33. And then how many people in the world that lived. And the number comes out to 21,450,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000, paid the price for every one of those 21 quadrillion sins. And when he said, "It is finished," the price has been paid. So problem number one, we're just going to go through and list all the problems, and then we'll go over and see what the solutions are. I'm giving you a hint that it is finished. And so some people call the solutions the finished work of Christ. Now, under the category of personal sins, we also have Christian sins, and we'll look at that because that's part of the problem. But we have to realize when there is a sin, a price has to be paid. There is no such thing as free forgiveness. Someone always has to pay. And God cannot go, "Oh, I'll just turn my eye. That's okay. I'll just, you know how parents are. I'll just forget that one." Those 21 quadrillion sins require a price. Problem number one, personal sin. Problem number two is the sin nature or the old nature. When this happened, man was changed. His nature was changed. And how it was changed is he hid. He no longer wanted to be in God's presence. We see that when God came down into the garden, and it says that he was going to walk with man, but man hid. The problem is sin nature, when this happened, Adam and Eve's nature was changed into a sin nature, and a sin nature doesn't want to be in God's presence. They were hiding. So, for example, in Psalm 51, verse 5, it says this, "Behold, I was brought forth in iniquity, and in sin my mother conceived me." 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 14 says this, "But a natural man does not accept the things of the Spirit of God, for they are foolishness to him, and he cannot understand them because they are spiritually appraised." Romans chapter 8, verses 7 and 8 says this, "Because the mindset of the flesh is hostile towards God. It does not subject itself to the law of God, for it is not even able to do so. For those who are in the flesh cannot please God." Problem number two is when this happened, our nature changed. And that nature was passed down through our birth. I received that sin nature from my parents. A bad way of explaining it is my parents passed down the DNA of sin nature to me, and guess what I done to my children? I passed my sin nature down to my children. Because here, the problem is, we're changed. Problem number one is personal sin. Problem number two is the sin nature. We now have a sin nature. Now, the hardest one to explain is problem number three. This is a word that nobody uses, unless you're probably an accountant, maybe. Imputed. So that is a word in Holy Scripture, so we need to know what that means. Problem number three is imputed sin. And I did nothing for that one. Personal sin, I commit. Sin nature, I was born. Imputed sin means to put on. When Adam did this, it says that the whole human race a slave to sin and death was imputed to man, placed upon or put on his account. I did nothing, but as soon as I was born, on my account was imputed sin. So, for example, in Romans chapter 12, Romans chapter 5, verse 12, it says this: "Therefore, just as through one man sin entered the world, and death through sin, so death spread to all men because all sinned." When Adam did this and he sinned, the result was death. Everyone was given the death sentence. I had a professor who wanted to do this as his last word of
Are we good? Oh, now I can really yell. It's like the preacher who looked down at his note and said, weak point, yell louder. Solution, propitiation. God is satisfied. And the direction of propitiation is Godward. God is satisfied. Because once God is satisfied, love and mercy and grace can come into play. Propitiation is the solution to our personal sin. And Jesus, when he said, it is finished, took on the guilt and shame of our sins. Those 21 quadrillion sins that God demands a price for, a penalty for, a discipline for, have been paid. Okay. Okay, we're wired again. Propitiation. God is satisfied. 21 quadrillion sins. Well, let's look at it this way. Okay, can't look at it this way because now it would be considered improper. But when your child misbehaves or sins, in the olden days, dad would come home and give him 5 or 6 slaps on the bum to correct. So for you guys who are math people, 21 quadrillion, 450 trillion sins, times that by 5 spankings each, Jesus paid it all. Of course, if I was a singer, I would say, Jesus paid it all to him I owe. But I won't do that. So in the verse for that propitiation is 1 John chapter 2, verse 2. It says, and he himself is the propitiation for our sins, and not for ours only, but also for those of the whole world. Jesus, propitiation. Jesus paid the price not only for my sin as a Christian, but for the whole world. That means we have good news to those outside of this church. We can go out to say to them, propitiation. Of course, they'll go, what? Jesus paid for your sins, all of them. Now, the thing we need to understand is God was satisfied. God is a holy God. And as a holy God, there's only one perfect solution. There is no plan B. There is one solution for a holy God. So when God placed his wrath and anger and justice on Jesus, it was perfect wrath. It was perfect justice. It was perfect anger on Jesus. Holy God was satisfied. And of course, every now and then I like to ask quizzes. And so the quiz is, we're talking a little bit here about a holy God. So what's the angel's favorite hymn to sing in heaven? Holy, holy, holy. How many times in Scripture is that mentioned? Oh. Twice. One in Isaiah and one in the book of Revelation. Because we have to understand, a holy God is satisfied. Without his holiness, God's patience would be indulgence. Without God's holiness, his mercy would be fondness to a select few. Without holiness, his anger and wrath would be madness uncontrolled. Without holiness, his omnipotence would be fearful and tyranny. Without holiness, his wisdom would be subtle manipulation to accommodate his desires. God is satisfied. His holiness was satisfied. And we have to remember that when we talk about those 21 quadrillion sins, we have to go, does God really know them all? And the answer is yes. Because one of the doctrines, belief systems we have about God is omniscient. And I think I told you the definition of omniscience means God knows all things. So the definition again is God knows all things, past, present, future, real and potential, without effort, without succession, independently, without counsel, at once, intuitively. God knows all of those 21 quadrillion sins, and he demands a perfect punishment for those. And Jesus on the cross was able to say, "It is finished." One of the problems with personal sin, if we say, oh, it's not that bad, or I can handle the penalty, is we're calling Jesus a liar. Because he said, it is finished. God says, I am satisfied. Those sins have been dealt with. Or if we say, God doesn't really know how bad I am, guess what? God really knows how bad I am, and he was satisfied because Jesus paid it all. His holiness must hate sin perfectly, intensely. Holiness, therefore, by its nature, must choose the very best plan, otherwise it's sin. The perfect plan is the death of Jesus. In Hebrews chapter 10, verse 10, it says, by this will we have been sanctified through the offering of the blood of Jesus Christ once for all. Problem. Personal sin. Solution. Propitiation. Now, with personal sin, we also have the sin of a Christian. So, as a Christian, I sin. Solution. Confession. And that is found in 1 John chapter 1, verse 8. This is a verse that many of us know. It says, if we say that we have no sin, we are deceiving ourselves and the truth is not in us. If we confess our sins, he is faithful and righteous to forgive us of our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. If we say that we have not sinned, we make him a liar and his word is not in us. Christian sin, solution, confession. Propitiation is the solution to personal sin. Next one, sin nature. What is the solution to sin nature? And here's a word again in Holy Scripture, but this one we understand, but we have to limit its definition, and that is reconciliation. Solution to sin nature is reconciliation. Now, in my mind, reconciliation is when you have two parties, an offense has been done, one says sorry, sorry, and we come together. So there's movement on both parties. That's not the definition. Because we see that reconciliation is God has not moved. The problem with sin nature is we have moved. Reconciliation means that we have been changed so that we come back to God. Second Corinthians chapter 5, verses 17 to 19 says this: therefore, if any man is in Christ, he is a new creature. The old things have passed away. Behold, new things have come. Now all these things are from God, who reconciled us to himself through Christ and gave us the ministry of reconciliation, namely that God was in Christ reconciling the world to himself, not counting the world to himself, not counting their trespasses against them, and he has committed to us the word of reconciliation. Sin nature, we'll go over here. Sin nature was passed down to us through birth. We have to sin. It is finished. Reconciliation. We are given a new nature. And with that new nature, we can come close to God. We want to come close to God. In Colossians chapter 3, verse 10, it says, and have put on the new self who is being renewed to a true knowledge according to the image of the one who created us. And with that new nature, in Hebrews chapter 4, verse 16, it says, let us therefore draw near with confidence to the throne of grace, that we may receive mercy and may find grace to help in times of need. Sin nature. Solution, reconciliation. Because Jesus on the cross said, it is finished. Third problem, imputed sin. Death. We are slaves to sin and death. It was placed on us. One person said collateral damage. When this happened, the collateral damage is the whole race was put into slavery of sin and death. The solution is redemption. And we sang about that this morning. Redemption is a very interesting word in the New Testament. It's used five different ways. It means to buy. Imputed sin, solution is redemption, or to buy. So the five words are these. Well, first of all, let's just look at this. It says, in 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 1, it says, but false prophets also arose among the people, just as there will also be false teachers among you, who will secretly introduce destructive heresies, even denying the master who bought them. Jesus bought us all. That word bought, is that word redemption, bringing swift destruction upon themselves. The five words are these. So you have to imagine over here, we, imputed sin means we are in change, handcuffs, locked away, and now we are slaves to sin and death. Redemption, the first word is to buy. It's just a simple word that says, that's it, to buy. Jesus bought us. The second word is to buy out of. That Jesus went into the slave market. You know, now when we go into the grocery store, we go, this aisle has this, and this aisle has this, and this aisle has this. But in the olden Roman days, this aisle had this, and this aisle had this, and this aisle had this, and this aisle had slaves. You could go into the marketplace and buy a slave. Jesus went in and bought us out of the marketplace of sin and death. First word is to buy. Second word is to buy out of. The third word is to loose. Jesus went down that aisle, found us, handcuffed and took the chains off. He loosed us to buy out, to loose. The third word is to loose away from. It means to go into the marketplace, undo the handcuffs, grab you by the shoulder, and take you to the door and said, that way, you are free. To loose away from. And the fifth word is to purchase for his own possession. Because when you buy something, it belongs to you. And it's a very rich word where God uses it. It says that I bought you. You are now mine. And when you read in the epistles, you see that because in the introduction in most of the epistles, whoever's writing it, Peter or Paul or John, will say, a slave to Jesus Christ. Over here, imputed sin is, I am a slave to sin and death. Redemption. He bought us. I am now the personal possession of Jesus, of God. And because I am belong to God, what's the solution? We had the solution to sin, but a slave to sin and death, what's the solution to death? Resurrection. We have the resurrection to look forward to. From physical death to now imputed righteousness and the hope of the resurrection. The work of Jesus on the cross made forgiveness possible. The price for our sins have been paid, and God remembers them no more. We have justification. Jesus declares us righteous. We are clothed in Jesus Christ's righteousness. We can have fellowship with God. So now when we read or quote Romans 3:23, it says, for all have sinned. What are the four? All have sinned. I have personal sin. As a Christian, I have Christian sin. I have the sin nature. And I have imputed sin. Personal sin. Strike one. We're out. We don't get any other strikes. But strike one, personal sin, we're out. Oh, but there's another strike. Sin nature. We're out. We're doubly out. Imputed sin, we're triply out. We're out, out, out. God had the perfect plan for our four problems. Jesus paid them all, and he said, it is finished. Because God can do no other than have perfect plans. We have to look at the other side of the coin as well. The other side of the coin is, I can enter into propitiation, reconciliation, redemption, and confession, or I can choose to say no. What is God's perfect plan for people who say no? Well, we call it hell. Because that was God's perfect plan that God set in place before the foundations of the world. Okay, quiz time. Propitiation, what does it mean? God is satisfied. Propitiation is the solution to personal sin. Sin nature, the solution to sin nature is reconciliation. Uh-oh, I failed as a teacher. Okay, we'll do the reverse. Reconciliation is the solution to sin nature. Imputed sin, the solution is redemption. Confession is the solution to Christian sin. All of that because Jesus' last breath on the cross, he was able to say, "It is finished." No doubt, God was satisfied. Let's pray. Father, once again, we are thankful for this day that we can just review what many of us have decided to do, to follow Jesus, to know when Jesus said, "It is finished," he looked after my sins, and I desire to follow him. Thank you, Father, that the death of Jesus on the cross paid the price for my personal sins, for my sin nature, and for the imputed sins, that we can now boldly go into your presence because of the price paid, the blood of Jesus. So bless us now as we continue on in our worship and in our week, I pray. In Christ's name, amen. Thank you.